Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Now, you've been working in hospitality and events for around 20 years now, and that's how you first became aware of the enormous amount of food being wasted in that industry. What scale of waste are we talking about?
Well, I think your listeners are going to be really blown away by this. Currently, we are collecting the equivalent of just over 10 tons of excess food per week here in Sydney.
I'm just having trouble imagining how much food that actually is.
Yeah, it's an enormous amount. It equates to about 6,000 meals a day that we're able to collect from surplus, excess, fabulous quality food that would otherwise go to waste.
With all that food being thrown out, I guess as well as that, it's a common myth that no one in Australia goes hungry, but even with all that food thrown out, that's not the case.
It definitely isn't the case. I wish I could say it was. We service over 170 agencies that have a food program to people in need. That's just here in Sydney. And they would not be able to function. The people who come to them need that food. So, unfortunately, we're very clear that there are people in need.
You're originally from South Africa, and it was a trip back there and a visit to Soweto that convinced you to make more of a difference when you returned home to Australia.
Absolutely. It was my wake-up call, being with a friend who I saw firsthand had made a significant contribution to her community and her country. And it made me realise that, really, I had so much more that I needed to do.
Now, the amount of food we waste in Australia, is that unique to affluent nations? For example, would you see that much waste in a place like South Africa?
Absolutely. In South Africa, yes. Certainly not in other parts of Africa. But South Africa, there would be as much excess food going to waste. And probably there's no doubt that the hunger levels would be way more than they are here.
So in 2004, you heard about a charity called American Harvest that was rescuing this unwanted food, and you established OzHarvest based on that model. Were there challenges in getting this up and running?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, it hadn't been done before, and nobody thought you could collect perishable excess food. So the first stumbling block, so to speak, was educating the food donors that they could give us their food. Now, there were certainly some right from the beginning who just said, this is brilliant, we don't want to see waste, whether it was an organic store in Bondi or a caterers that I had been working with. All of them came on board immediately. Some, I found, said, no, we worried, we don't think we can do that. So we together, the St. James Uniting Church had already started trying to have the law changed, but hadn't got very far. And we came on board and lobbied and made sure that the law in New South Wales was amended in July 2005, which allowed food donors to give their food away for free. And we've since had that law amended in the ACT, in Queensland and South Australia.
In the first month, 4,000 meals were delivered to 14 shelters. Now you've got six vans delivering 105,000 meals to charities in Sydney, Wollongong and Canberra. Do you hope to expand across Australia?
Absolutely. And if it's okay, it's not because I'm contradicting you, but our figures change every day.
Oh, good.
So
please,
as of today,
contradict.
We have delivered 5,379,861 meals. And in Sydney, we're delivering over 125,000 meals a month right now. We're now in Newcastle, where they're delivering about 8,000 meals a month. And we're in Canberra, where we're delivering about 35,000 meals a month. And we certainly are working on trying to get to Adelaide. We hope to be there within the next few months. And hopefully by early next year, Brisbane.
Yes.
And then Perth, and then anywhere else.
And what's special about this food is that the food you're delivering is often high-quality gourmet stuff, not just leftovers from bread shops. Does that help give people in need a sense of dignity and worth?
Look, there's no doubt one of the special things about food is how it makes us feel. I mean, when we want to celebrate anything special, we sit around and have beautiful food. So delivering beautiful quality food, which really is what we do, it makes people feel that they are more valuable. It makes them feel they are worth more. And that's the feedback we get from a lot of our agencies who say people care about us if they're willing to give us this special food. So it's an added bonus, because not only are they getting variety, not only are they getting a larger nutritional variety, they also feel more special.
I even heard about a situation where a client had salmon for the first time and wondered why the fish was that pink colour.
Exactly. And you know, that is an exciting thing. Imagine being able to share food with people who've never tasted things that a lot of us take for granted.
Now, giving food to the hungry, that's meeting a very immediate need. But do you think OzHarvest has made a difference in some lives long term as well?
Look, I think we have, in terms of youth, we've educated kids and people about quality food, that perhaps it's better and easier to eat healthier food than it is to eat junk food. You know, that in that sphere, absolutely. There's still so much more education that we can do and have to do, but I know that we've made a difference because we've opened the palates, taste buds, and changed the way people who would never have had an opportunity to eat a different range of food now know what's out there and what they've been missing and what they can look forward to.
One shelter noted that an improvement in the overall presentation of their clientele was to be found.
Absolutely, because again, it was about dignity. It was about, if we're being treated differently, maybe we should look at ourselves differently. And that is a very, very powerful thing to know, that if you can implement that kind of change. We've also changed the financial status of some of our agencies. They're coming back to us and telling us they're saving lots of money because we're providing food on a particular day, and so they can redirect that funding to other causes. Now, that's very powerful, because then they have the capacity to use money for different educational purposes, nutritional purposes, add a different value and more value to their clients.
Now, I'm sure there is some thinking, this is, I'm sure, a question you get all the time, that the other side of that, by giving free food to people who are living on the street due to their own addictions, you're simply perpetuating a cycle of dependency. Mm-hmm. What would you say to that?
I'd say, first of all, we don't give people on the streets food. We encourage them to go to agencies, and in these agencies, they have all the capacities to reintegrate with society. That's one of the reasons that we don't feed people on the street and try and encourage them to go to agencies. I think that the food that we are giving away has been energy, fuel, and water have been expended and money to produce that food. I believe that I believe that people don't find themselves on the streets on purpose. People find themselves in extraordinary circumstances for a whole lot of reasons. And I am never able to judge why somebody's there and somebody isn't. And I'm not in a position to judge why I'm here and I'm not there. And what's going to change for me? That could change this in a minute. So I believe that if we can add an increase and have those services, that's really important.
You're an extraordinary woman. There's no doubt about that. And I think a fair bit of that must come from your childhood as well. You were born in South Africa, as we mentioned before. You moved to Israel to study and raise your family.
Yeah.
And for 12 of your years, you were there in a communal living situation. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, kibbutz is a very amazing society, but a difficult one. It is really about everybody doing and working according to their ability and receiving according to their need. And in theory, it is fantastic. And it does work, but every now and again you get a rogue person like me who feels, really, I need to make decisions for myself. And so it did become a difficult place, a wonderful place. We made extraordinary friendships and experienced an amazing life, but reached a point that actually I needed to be making some decisions that affected only me and not the community. And if you don't feel that you can comply with the community, you shouldn't be living in that kind of society. So, so I needed to leave that, but it was, I don't regret a single bit of anything I've ever done. So.
It must have contributed a bit to your approach on life as well. There must be influences that have carried on from that.
Oh, look, there's no doubt. First of all, my faith, I am Jewish, and part of being Jewish is about one of the values that we brought up with is an expression called tikkun olam, and it means repairing the world. It is part of our duty to repair the world. So it's not even that it's part of what we're supposed to do. It's not a charity. It's not an external thing. It's part of our values. So I think that there's absolutely no doubt that for me and the values that I was brought up with, that we should be looking after our neighbors, we should be looking after people in need, we should be doing more for our communities. There's no doubt that that was an example I was brought up with. And so for me, it is fulfilling an innate part of what I need to do. And having found my life purpose is one of the most fulfilling things because, you know, a lot of people spend their lives looking for what it is they're being put on this earth for, and yet I know already why I'm here.
So would you say that it's your Jewish faith that is being expressed out through your work, or is at the same time the bit more of your individual nature has taken you down this path?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think that I can't divorce my Jewishness. I'm not a very active Jew, but it is my faith. I think it's my humanity. I think that it's about being a human and it's about caring for all people. I certainly don't believe that individual faith should only look after their own. I think we're all about making a better world, and if we all knew that, realized that we're all one, then I think that the world would be a much better place.
Before we let you go, I'm sure our New South Wales listeners would love to hear a bit about the Feed Sydney campaign.
Oh, thank you so much. So during this month, it's a special campaign because we know that so many of your listeners, so many people out there in the community would love the opportunity to make a difference and don't really know how. And so during Feed Sydney campaign, our goal is to raise an extra 250,000 meals. We're coming up for winter, and we know that this is a difficult time for so many people. So we want to raise 250,000 more meals in this month than usual. And the way your listeners can help, they can go onto the Feed Sydney website, which is www.feedsydney.com.au, and donate online and provide more meals to needy people.
Ronnie, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you tonight. Please keep doing the work you're doing, and I really hope that it just spreads throughout all of Australia.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share what we do with our listeners. I really appreciate that.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.